Now, we mentioned Tullamore Dew there, and we're going to Offaly now because last year, County Offaly journalist PJ Cunningham wrote a book on rural life called The Lie of the Land, and he was in studio here to tell us all about it. Well, he's just completed writing another book called The Long Acre. As it's ploughing week, PJ reads a very personal story from this new book, which is due out next month. This piece is titled The Last Day of the Ploughman.
Traditionally, ploughing was seen in our part of the country as the poetry of land work. This was especially so at a time when a man worked his team of horses to paint a green field brown by drawing line after line into the soil. A good ploughman was revered in our community, almost like a good footballer or a good hurler. Conversely, there was no greater sense of ridicule among farmers than to see the creation of crooked furrows in a field. And unfortunately, that is what happened as my father started to lose the great strength in his shoulders as he arrived into his late 60s. Without realising it, or maybe realising it but without telling us, he had begun to take shortcuts. He never trusted my brother or myself with this job. It was his domain and that was that. But his drilling was awful and the soil itself was insufficiently harrowed and grubbed in advance of the ploughing. It sure meant a long hot summer on our knees, thinning this stony brown soil of Offaly, which was heavy to the hand and sharp and cutting to the fingers. By the end of the first day's thinning of the turnips, it felt like your nails and the soft part of your palms had been slashed with rapiers. We eventually finished the tillage that year, but we could tell my father was embarrassed that he had somehow demeaned the age-old craft of the ploughman in the process. As if intent to make up for it the following year, he went somewhat overboard to set up his work. He measured the land and squared the tillaged area by tapping pieces of wood into the ground and spooling twine down the sides to the two headlands. When he was ready to begin, my brother and I watched spellbound as himself and the mare changed from individual man and horse into one working being. He spoke quietly to her at the first furrow. She stopped, her ears pricked in concentration, slowly stepping into line where she was being gently directed. The single tree and the chains from her tackling swung quietly like a rosary beads in the hands of a church worshipper. "Easy," he coaxed. "Easy." She obeyed by advancing with dainty steps to line herself up in the alley between the drills. "Kind girl, kind." She followed his voice as if on remote control. "Hub off, hub off." And so they began. The sock of the plough lifted the terrain and my father subtly altered his weight from one handle to the other to ensure the topsoil was overturned without breaking. There was something almost ceremonial and sacred in watching a man plough in this old-fashioned way. Having completed four perfect channels of furrows on either side of the field, my father stopped for a rest. On resuming, he directed my brother to take the reins, urging him to use a soft grip to keep the plough in a straight line. "Good lad. Little to the left, a small bit the other way. Perfect," he said with a tone of approval. "Great work." All the while I ran the outfield lines, picking up the odd large stone, getting water for the mare, and going back to the house to bring back tea and sandwiches for the two workmen. They had developed a special communion during that working day. They were the two ploughmen now, and I was the outsider looking in. Perhaps I should have been a bit jealous at this, but I wasn't. I felt I was witnessing something sacrosanct. A father handing down the tools of his noble craft to the eldest son, as had been done for him by his father half a century before. Then he looked over in my direction and smiled. "Get your hands on the plough handles now there, Vic. It's your turn." I was both shocked and delighted as the two senior players encouraged me through my rite of passage as a ploughman on that day. I can only imagine how we looked in the field that evening as the sun rays cast long evening shadows across our work. Together we followed the plough, my brother and father directing me, and ahead the mare benignly pulling me and the plough along. The feeling of ecstasy I felt as I followed my father's advice to plough out the whole headland was perhaps what a player feels when scoring a winning goal in All-Ireland. Elation and, of course, a deep sense of empathy with the people around him. We were at that last moment of the ploughman's day, and all three of us scanned approvingly across the field at our day's work. The ploughed area was the poem we had just written. Line by exact line, stanza by demanding stanza, right up to the final furrow I had penned in the clay with that last sweep of the plough. My father was happy that evening as he surveyed the ploughed field. "We can stand over that work, lads," he said simply, with a sense of accomplishment in his tone. Sadly, that day's ploughing proved to be his final signature on this earth. By the following spring, he had died before we began the tilling. But the memory of that afternoon lingers as fresh as if it was yesterday. Best frame for me in the words of the poet A.E. Houseman when he wrote, "Aye, the horses trample, the harness jingles now. No change, though you lie under the land you used to plough."
Yeah, very poignant piece there from PJ Cunningham, The Last Day of the Ploughman, and that's from his new book, The Long Acre, and appropriate enough, I suppose, with the week that's in it ahead of the ploughing.